Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 936. Our topic is mindset, and the title is Lessons Learned from Recently Read Books. Now, I am using the word read, as in recently read books, very loosely. I actually listen to audiobooks. I'm not good at taking the time to read, and I have a hard time when I am reading, not daydreaming or trying to think ahead, or just it's annoying to have to sit there and focus on it. So what I have found for myself is that audiobooks work really well for me, and I actually have a very high retention rate for audiobooks. So it's something that's nice because our lives require us to do things that are physically active but mentally boring, such as, you know, cleaning dishes, doing laundry, cleaning the house, just other odds and ends that we have to do to kind of upkeep our general life. However, there's not really a lot of mindfulness to it. So I like to listen to audiobooks at those times because it makes me feel like that portion of my life is still valuable to kind of the progression of my life and towards my overall goals. So it just kind of makes the menial tasks a little more enjoyable. And I thought it'd be fun to share kind of the three most recent books I've read through or listened to and what their lessons were. Now, I wish I would have read more when I was younger, and that probably would make me better at reading like a physical book. But in the last, I looked at Audible, and in the last 6 years, I've actually listened to 61 books. So I'm doing pretty good at 10 books a year. Now, this is a kid who went through all of high school and college without ever reading a single book. I was the kid who did like book reports by reading like the first chapter, a couple pages in the middle and the end, and then just kind of BSing the assignment from there. Really, really wish I would have been a better student, but I made it through and did okay. But now I'm learning to love reading and learning to love learning and seeing how much value there is. And it's amazing how much we can learn from other people. And I have kind of like a passion for it now, to where if somebody else has had an experience, whether it's good or bad, I would love to hear what they went through, hear their knowledge, hear their lessons. And then if I'm going to attempt the same thing, I can maybe at least be more aware than they were and maybe have a chance to do it a little bit better than they did. So sometimes I still have to learn my own lessons, you know, kind of learn the hard way, so to speak. But it at least having some information ahead of time lets me kind of know the red flags to look for, lets me know some things to get a little further on the journey, maybe get a little more out of the experience. So just because we learn from others doesn't mean we can't try stuff ourselves. It just means that maybe we can try it with just a little more information. So the three most recent books that I've listened to, number one was Change Your World by John Maxwell, and it's about how to make a difference in the world. The other one, second one, is The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clason, C-L-A-S-O-N. I think that's how you say his name, but that was a really good one. I liked that. And then Beyond Order by Jordan Peterson. So he has 12 Rules to Live By, which is kind of a book that made him kind of mostly popular, why he has most of his fame. And this was a kind of follow-up to that, where it was 12 more lessons and kind of the benefits behind them and why he thinks they are good things to practice in your life. So I thought this would be a fun podcast in the sense of just kind of reading through some lessons, seeing what the common denominators are, and then maybe if it piques your interest, you might want to check these out yourself. So the first book is Change Your World by John Maxwell. So if you know who John Maxwell is, he's written a lot of excellent, wonderful books about leadership, and I've enjoyed a lot of his past ones. So the three lessons that I learned from this one is, number one, one person can make a difference. And he goes through and gives a lot of examples of people he knows who have kind of landed upon an experience in their life, and it prompted them to try to make a change to what they saw and what they felt. And he tells a little bit about how they made that work, how they made it happen. And it did all start from one person, and he shows, you know, dozens of examples, but it starts with one person. It maybe doesn't stay as only one person, and often it doesn't. He actually promotes that you try to get help as fast as you can towards your goals, because it'll allow you to achieve them faster. So it starts with one person, but it definitely doesn't stay with one person. But one of the recent examples, like one of the latter examples in the book, was the example of backpacks for kids. So there was a person, I believe they were a teacher, and a student was taking some extra food home with them, and they said they didn't have any food at home. So the teacher went to a local grocery store, bought some backpacks, bought some food, you know, put the food in backpacks and tried to give it to the kids to take over the weekend so that way they would have something to eat. And it actually grew to over 87,000 kids getting help across the country, with the bulk of them in Chicago, which is where this person lives. So it was 87,000 kids every single week are getting a backpack of food because one person decided to make a difference. Now, you might say, okay, 87,000 is a lot, but it doesn't change the world. Well, it changes 87,000 people's worlds. So it absolutely did change the world for each of those kids. And if you put together a couple more people doing one thing, how many more people then are you going to help? So you may not be able to change the world, but you can change someone's world. And that was one of the big lessons in the book. Another lesson was it'll start small, and it'll often feel small in regards to what you're doing, what you're able to achieve, the impact you're able to make. But you have to start small to only ever get big. So John Maxwell is actually an example of this himself. He's been kind of working on leadership. He's been working with organizations and people for over 40 years. And it has allowed him to now be able to write a book that impacts millions of people's lives. One person's thoughts have been read by over millions of people. But it started with the first day of work, you know, the first person he helped. Maybe the first long night of giving up sleep to make sure he could get the information that they asked about. It starts, and it often feels like it stays at small impact, small efforts. Well, actually, they probably feel like big efforts to us, but small in regards to the impact they're able to have. But it's through starting small, it's through working your ass off and getting those big efforts in our own individual life, that we can eventually then have the big impact into others' lives. So that book is great for showing that, yes, you may start small, it may feel small, but that's the only way to get to big. You can't start big. You may have big goals, you might have big dreams, but you have to be willing to work through the small. And then the third lesson from that book that I've written down is, like we kind of hinted to, is get help fast. So multiple minds, multiple resources, multiple people living and learning along the way, that all leads to faster and better results. So recognizing what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, getting someone or something to help with those weaknesses. And then as it grows even more, you might need to get more people to help with your strengths. So I've seen that in Brutal Iron Gym alone, is I've had my business now for 10 years, and when it first started, it was me. I had started the gym myself out of nothing. So I just had personal training clients. I had them come into the gym. They got results. They talked to more people. And eventually it now grew into the gym where we have the membership capped at 100 people, and we're always pretty full. No worries there, thankfully. Thank God. And we capped it at 100 because it makes enough money to pay the bills, but it keeps the gym from being too busy, too packed, so that way everybody can still have a good experience. So I never really cared about making money out of, like, from the gym itself. I just wanted to pay its own bills. And then I make my own money doing personal training, nutritional counseling, online clients, and things like that. So the gym is really just intended to be a free place for me to work, essentially, and a place to work out. And the membership pays for itself. So it works out really well. But I wasn't able to build that by myself. you know, I had help from my mom and my dad. I remember my brother, his poor soul, he came down one weekend from the state of New York, came down and we had him paint all weekend, helped me paint the walls, and I think he painted probably like 20 hours in like 2 days. But it was huge help from my family. I had help from friends who have now become family. And there's been a lot of people over the years that have made a huge, huge impact. And it's only through them that the gym was able to kind of grow to be what it is. So I may have been the person who started it, but I sure as hell couldn't have been the person that made it what it is now. And it has taken every one of those people, and it has taken all of the members as well. So trying to build something bigger than yourself takes more than just you. And that's not a bad thing. Don't ever dare let yourself be what holds back your vision and your dreams. So I learned a lot of times watching shows like Kitchen Nightmare, Bar Rescue, and other kind of business shows that 99.999% of the time, the owner was the problem. The owner was what was holding the business back. So I wanted to make sure that I learned from the lessons I saw on those shows. I took the advice from people who I believed to be knowledgeable around me. And even if I didn't see the vision, even if I didn't maybe necessarily agree, I at least was willing to try it and test it out and see if what they were saying was true. Because people are going to have more knowledge than me in certain areas. They're going to have more experience. And if they believe something to be true, it's worth me for sure at least testing it out or trying it out. So I know for myself, the way I've been able to help people in just my little world is been entirely because I enlisted the help of others. So the podcast has actually been pretty awesome. We've been having over 5,000 downloads a month. I work with 30 plus people directly, and then a lot more indirectly. And it's may be a small world in the scope of the fitness industry, but to the people in my world and to the people I get to help their world, it does make a difference and it makes an impact. And I'm very blessed to be in the position to be able to do that. So those were the three main lessons I learned from Change Your World by John Maxwell. Was one person absolutely can make a difference. Don't ever discredit yourself. The impact that you can make is going to feel very small at first. You're going to have to put big sacrifices in. It's going to feel very small. But it is only by going through the small that you can ever get to the big impact. And then the third lesson is get help fast. The more people you can get helping your vision, helping your dreams, helping your goals, the more likely you are to achieve them. The second book that I read recently was The Richest Man in Babylon, and that's an awesome, fun book. And there's a lot of really cool just life lessons in there, just good, solid life lessons. One of them is to own your actions, to own yourself. So if you live true to your actions, saying, okay, yes, if I did make a mistake, I'm going to own up to it, I'm going to take responsibility for it, I'm going to correct it. It might never be fully corrected. It might be a labor of life for me to kind of address the mistake that I've made. But if I own my mistakes, I can own who I am. I can own the world within my mind. I don't have to live with, guilt. I don't have to live hiding my shame. I don't have to live in a hidden world. I can live in the real world. I can be who I am. I can be proud of who I am, even if I have made mistakes, because I know I'm owning up to them and I'm trying to correct them. So every single human being on this planet has made mistakes. So definitely don't ever hold yourself back and say, you know, I don't deserve to have a good life because I made a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. And then if people are judging you for making a mistake, well, that's poor character on them, because they've made mistakes as well. We all make mistakes. But if you own your mistakes and you work to correct them, you can be proud of who you are. You can own the world within your mind. Second life lesson there is life moves at different speeds. And I thought this was kind of a cool one, and it's kind of something I interpreted off of some of the stories, was you can, if you're active towards the goals that you want to achieve, life can be kind of a longer journey. It can be something fun. It can be something in which small daily efforts have time to add up. So in this book, they talk about one of the kind of stories is centered around paying off debt. And even if a person can only pay a penny a day, that still adds up over time. And that's something that if we're proactive towards our goals, if we're proactive towards positive steps, life can be fun. Life can be very malleable, very changeable, very just, it's amazing what we can create for our reality in life if we're willing to put work in every day. On the flip side is if you talk about always doing it tomorrow, you talk about doing it someday, if you hide from the truth, life moves very quickly, because what you will see is opportunities lost. You'll be looking at the past. Versus if you're proactive today, you look into the future and you see all of the opportunities that are yet to come. So life moves at different speeds depending on where you look, depending on what you do. But don't give up on trying to do good things, even if you don't feel like you have a lot of time left, even if you feel like you've wasted a lot of time. If you focus on good things, life will slow down and it will add up over time to allow you to experience a better life. Third lesson is learning from others. Kind of like a similar lesson learned from the John Maxwell book is learn from others. It's like learning from a book, but we can learn from other people. You know, see what they've seen, hear what they've heard, learn what they've learned. But getting their experiences, getting their knowledge, as I mentioned, we may still do what we want to do. We may still, you know, try what they said, don't try. But we'll be better equipped for it. Maybe we'll have a better approach at it. We might experience the exact same thing, but at least now we'll have known what to look for. But learning from other people makes total sense. If we're going through this life every single day, learning as we go, we have lessons that we know today that we didn't know last week, that we didn't know last month, last year, that we didn't know 10 years ago. Why not talk to the person who's a day ahead of us, a week ahead of us, a month ahead of us, a year ahead of us, 10 years ahead of us? We talk all the time about if I could go back 10 years with what I know now. Well, why not talk to somebody who's 10 years ahead of you? Their story might be different. They might not have the same viewpoint you have. You may even feel that you're smarter than them. But there's still something to learn. And often, when we humble ourselves to learn from other people, it's usually a pretty good experience in the sense that we end up learning more than we thought we would. But learning from other people is definitely a great lesson for life. The third book we'll cover is Beyond Order by Jordan Peterson. And this book actually has 12 rules to live by, so 12 life lessons. So I'm going to read through them and just give some quick blurbs. But the idea is to kind of let you know what would be in the book. And if any of these kind of pique your interest, you can go listen to the book or read the book yourself. So the first lesson is do not carelessly denigrate social institutions or creative achievement. And for each of these lessons, he goes through and kind of gives a personal experience, gives some scientific background, and then often gives like a story of another person and how their life would reflect the lesson trying to be taught. The second lesson is imagine who you could be and then aim single-mindedly at that. So you can imagine that that's probably one that I really liked, and I do like that. So one of the kind of ideas of this is I was listening to another audiobook recently, and it talked about somebody who's trying to quit smoking. And instead of thinking of themselves as an ex-smoker trying to quit, they had to reframe who they were. And they said, I'm a non-smoker. So whenever urges or habits would come up, you know, or kind of feelings would come up, they would say, I'm a non-smoker. I don't do that. And that helped them hold back from behaviors that were kind of resetting them back into that life. When they were just an ex-smoker trying to quit, it seemed easier to do those behaviors because that's what an ex-smoker would do. Everybody said that's how hard quitting was. So if they were somebody trying to quit, they were just like everyone else who made that mistake. It would be kind of understood if they went back into smoking. But if they viewed themselves as not smoker, a non-smoker, all of a sudden those decisions wouldn't have made sense. That isn't what a non-smoker does. So that doesn't always work, and it does sound kind of like, BS. But if you try these things, where you try changing your mindset, if you try changing your focus instead of from not being who you were and changing that to being who you want to be, that can make a big difference. Big difference in the decisions you make, and even a big difference in how hard it feels to avoid or decide against negative choices. It can actually make it easier to change your life because it uses less willpower, uses less discipline. Third lesson is, do not hide unwanted things in the fog. Do not hide from things that you know you need to do, you need to address. This feeds into the fourth one, is notice that opportunities lurk where responsibility has been abdicated. So, Jordan Peterson likes fancy words, by the way. So, no one usually says abdicated. But, where responsibility has been shirked, opportunity lurks. And that can be in our own lives. And that can even be in business, for example. Like, if people are saying, oh, that's too hard, or I don't want to do that, or that's beneath me, maybe that's where you could shine, where you could show your value. If everyone else is avoiding it, that might be where you need to dive right in. And that would be true in our own lives. What you are avoiding is often the largest area for opportunity. The largest place that you could improve, you could make a difference. The fifth lesson is, do not do what you hate. And this is things where it's different than what we know we're responsible to do. But if there's things you generally just don't want to do, and they don't really, when you analyze them, they don't really give value to your life, then stop doing them. Stop wasting time. Stop doing what society says you should do. Stop doing what your parents said you should do. Stop even doing what you think you should do, but you don't really truly see the value in it. It's just what people did. It's what kind of you've learned from who knows where and when. It's just been always something you did. But if it doesn't give you value, if you don't actually enjoy it, if you actually don't remember why you do it anymore, don't do it. The next lesson is abandon ideology. And that kind of goes into kind of learn everything you can and then think for yourself. Continue to learn as much as you can about whatever topic interests you, whether it's life, whether it's lifting, whether it's nutrition, things like that, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, anything that you want to know more about, learn everything. But then find the common threads, find the logic, find your own path. Then next lesson is, work as hard as you possibly can at least one thing and see what happens. And I really like this because it urges you to see what you're capable of. It doesn't even matter what it is. It could be anything of your choice. You might start something, decide to change. You might change a dozen times, two dozen times. You might change 100 times. But once you find something that you can give your truest passion, truest effort to, it's amazing to see what you can actually accomplish. I've seen this a little bit in my life, and I've definitely seen it in clients' lives. Whenever they devote their whole self to something, it is amazing what people can accomplish, and it's often so much greater than they ever thought possible. Next lesson is, try to make one room in your home as beautiful as possible. And he likes that one because it kind of teaches you to kind of respect what you have. You know, give everything kind of credibility, give it its worth, give it its respect. And he knows that you can't do it all the time. You can't do it in every area of the house. You can't do it perfectly. But if you devote at least one room in your house or one aspect of your life, whether it's maybe the inside of your car, you know, just something that you own, try to make it as beautiful and best as possible. That could even be your body. Now, we're not going to make beauty based on, like, vanity, but just trying to create the best body you can create, like giving your body the respect it deserves. Exercising. Stop eating shit. You know, trying to treat your body better. That can be something that teaches us to value what we have, teaches us to be more grateful for what we have. And it also shows that there's beauty in the world, and we can influence that. So even if life seems dark, even if life seems ugly, we will always have that one thing that we can keep working at, that reminds us that beauty is possible, and beauty is there in the world. Next lesson is, if old memories still upset you, write them down carefully and completely. And this is something I definitely have told clients before in various ways, is if you're having trouble moving past an experience, is to find out why. Like, look more into it, analyze it, find out what can be some lessons you can learn from that, so you can be better prepared in the future, that you can just make a better difference in your future from that experience. Like, that experience empowered you to have a better future. If you can analyze that experience, if you can find out lessons learned, it often calms us on how we feel towards that experience. It almost, in a sense, creates a value for the experience. We can have a sense of saying, okay, well, that happened to me so I can know this, so I can learn this, so I can avoid this, so I can do this. That may have happened to me, and I'm you know, it's the worst thing ever, and I struggled to overcome it, but I have found value from it. That doesn't give it kind of acceptance. So I've talked with people, I've trained with people who've you know, been abused in various ways. And just because you use that to empower yourself in one way or another doesn't mean that it was okay that it happened. Not at all. But you can use that it happened to make an improvement in your life, to make an improvement in others' lives. There can be something good that comes from it. The next lesson is, plan and work diligently to maintain the romance in your relationship. This certainly doesn't take any explanation as to why that's good. So it's definitely going to be worthwhile. And that doesn't even have to be a romantic relationship. It can just be, you know, friends, family, things like that. But you want to plan work. You want to invest into the important relationships of your life. Don't, you know, just be passive towards them. Don't just put them on coast. Work at them. 11th lesson is, do not allow yourself to become resentful, deceitful, or arrogant. Those will steal all of the happiness in your life. It'll steal progressive improvement in your life. So if you have something that makes you feel resentful, deceitful, if you're feeling arrogant, work on that. Attack that. Try to correct it. And the last lesson is, be grateful in spite of your suffering. Even in our darkest moments, there are still things that we have. People, you know, maybe your spiritual outlook. You know, if you believe in God, you have God. You have yourself. There's often something that is still there that you can be grateful for. If anything, you can be grateful for the chance that your life isn't over and that there is a chance to make a change in the future. There's hope for change. So these are the last three books I've listened to, and I love, love, love listening to these kind of things because it really does help improve your outlook in life, and it can improve the way in which you approach life, and you can actually get more from life. So this is the only life that you will ever have. Learn as much as you can from as many people as you can. And recognize that life is never continuously easy. Do not try to create an easy life. Instead, create a life that makes the challenges and the suffering worth it. Make your suffering your choice. Allow your challenges to strengthen you. Life can be what you want it to be within what's given to you. Go out and take as much as you can, but at the same time is recognize that if you've been dealt something in your life that was not a choice of yours and you can't find a way out of it, you can at least find a different way to live within it. So don't aim for an easy life. Aim for a meaningful one. When you flip the script in your mind, searching for that, searching for meaning, searching for strength, searching for challenges that can become your victories, you're going to have a much better life, much more enjoyable life. There will still be challenges, there will still be suffering, but it'll be easier to bear, and it'll feel like it has a meaning. Okay. Well, hopefully these books were interesting to at least hear about, so I really do enjoy these three, so I would definitely recommend them if you want to check them out. Awesome. Well, hopefully this was helpful, and thank you for listening. I really appreciate everybody tuning into the podcast, and I hope that even if in the podcast we don't talk about nutrition and training, I hope, you know, some of these mindful things, mindset things are worth the listen and are enjoyable. Cool. Okay, well, if you do like the podcast, click like. If you think the podcast is helpful, please share it. And then if you want to check out more from us, we always have more on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Awesome. Well, if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. This podcast is meant to be what you need it to be. So whatever you want to learn, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.